and welcome to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. My name is Beth Shank. I'm a registered nurse in Missoula, Montana. Today we're speaking with Ruth McDermott-Levy, an associate professor in nursing at Villanova University. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, Beth. How are you?
Good. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm the director of the Center for Global and Public Health at Villanova, and I also teach public health nursing to undergraduates and global health to graduates across the university. My nursing education was in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania at Wilkes University, and as a student, I worked with a lot of people who had black lung disease from working in the coal mines in that area, and that always interest me of kind of how people lived influenced their health in a very big way. So that influenced me throughout my career, although my career took several different paths. I did work initially in the hospital with cardiac patients. And again, I saw how the way people lived influenced their health. And in cardiac, you get people who repeat, they get better and then they have other events and they come back. And so some of their own health behaviors, such as smoking, which would be environmental, but then also air quality, influenced the patients we saw. So that drove me in my education as well to start asking those questions.
Did you work in environmental health or public health right out of school, or how did that happen for you?
Right out of school, I headed to the hospital because when I was graduating, the talk was you needed that year of med-surg. I don't necessarily agree with that anymore, but that's what I did. So I did work in the hospital. And then, as I said, I was really motivated by again, how people live. So from there, I went to work in home care for many years. And I worked in the suburbs of Philadelphia as well as Philadelphia and saw home environmental exposures. And then, again, air quality. Pennsylvania does struggle with air quality, and especially in urban areas like Philadelphia. So I saw, people affected by cardiac disease, respiratory disease, and then I saw mostly adults, but children in their household influenced by asthma because of our poor air quality. So that was my kind of practice career, and that led me to public health and thinking about how do we influence health of populations, and then that's when I headed back to graduate school.
What did you study in your graduate work? What was your PhD work in?
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I've taken a strange pattern, but I see it as all related. At the time when I was working on my graduate, thinking about my PhD, I was working with nurses from Oman, and this was right after 9/11 in 2001. Is when I started working with these nurses. And so I started looking at what do we know about their experience in the United States. And so my PhD work is actually about Arab women studying nursing in the United States. And so how I see that is related is I have made several trips to Oman. And so I've seen the impact of climate change on the people of Oman. And also Oman is an oil country. And so I've been out to the oil fields and seen that exposure. With the climate change in Oman, what has happened is because they have more dry, they don't have the water that they used to have. They don't have the access from the mountains. They're not getting the rain that they used to get in the mountains. And so their food production has really been limited. And then, and so they're getting their food from Jordan. And so, that is a problem for a country. And thinking about, what may happen if Jordan has some food issue that they can't provide to Oman. So from that, then, I wanted to do more with environment. So after my PhD, while I was working on tenure, I went and got my master's in public health. And during that time, I studied the environment during that my master's degree, my second master's. And at that time, Pennsylvania was really picking up on fracking. And I was the co-chair of Pennsylvania State Nurses Association Environmental Health Committee, and we needed to be prepared to address issues of fracking. And so in my MPH, I studied that in more detail and started work on a community-based participatory research project with a fracking community in northeastern Pennsylvania.
Wow, interesting. And so many connections between your experience in the Mideast and also in Pennsylvania. I mean, it's really the root cause is similar, at least in terms of impacts of fossil fuel extraction and burning.
Right. It seems strange, but when you connect all the dots, they are definitely related.
Did you find in your work with people in the communities, are there some similarities there in terms of people's responses, their concerns, their activism?
Well, I'll address U.S. and Oman, and then I'll speak specifically to Pennsylvania. There's big cultural differences between the two countries as far as activism and the government's response. I mean, one of the things that is so striking to me in comparing the two countries is in the United States, what is extracted from the ground is kind of individual or corporate proprietary. But in Oman, what is extracted from the ground is really owned by the entire country. And so everyone benefits from that in the ways of social services and education and healthcare. So it's a really different way of looking at things. And the other thing is that the oil fields are way out in the desert, far away from people, except there's occupational exposures. So, it's not the risk that we see with fracking, where it can be right in people's backyards and very close to where people are living or going to school or daycare centers. So that's something that's really remarkable about fracking and different from many of the other extraction methods that we've done anywhere. And so in Pennsylvania, we see people, kind of the same discussion that you hear in the news of people who are for it or against it. There are people who are benefiting from it. But I must say, even the people that I have interviewed and worked with that are, would classify as the pro-fracking group and, have either signed leases or even have a well on their property, they are concerned about air exposures and water contamination. One of the big things that is not getting a lot of attention is the stress on the communities. There's a change in the workforce. I mean, you've got the extraction industry has come into communities that were very quiet and very rural and has created an industrial process. And so people are very stressed by that change. And as I said, then there's also the concern of water and air quality. Pennsylvania is a really interesting state as far as our extraction history. We were the first state to have commercial oil extraction in the 1850s, but I'm not entirely sure, somewhere around there. And then we also, were a big coal state and we still do some coal. And now, fracking has taken off. So it's the culture of Pennsylvania is one of that, extraction of fossil fuels is part of our economy. And so how do we find a balance of, having economic strength and ensuring people have opportunities, but assuring health as well? And so that's the challenge for our state and many others with fracking.
Yeah, you've identified these competing issues that are both vivid and real and both impact health. I mean, financial stability and access to resources impacts health, as does exposures to these toxic chemicals. So this is a super rich area for both your research and your education. Tell me about how you approach this with your students and how that goes?
The course that I teach in the undergraduate level, it's an interesting course. It's called Imperatives for Global and Public Health. And so we look at public health through a global lens. And so we do address climate change and the impacts of health. And part of that is we look at the impacts of energy on health of populations. And so I do share the findings of my work with them, with the students. And some of the students are from extraction communities. And so that is interesting to hear their perspectives. And it is their perspectives are exactly what, you know, I find in the communities that I work with, of people seeing the economic value, but then also very concerned about the health risks. And, you know, there's research to support that fracking is a risk to communities. I mean, we've found that it influences fetal development, and we've also found, you know, impacts of air quality on human health. And so for some students who live in those communities, they have not heard about those risks. And so, you know, as nurses, and this is kind of something I want to do in my free time, is we need to be able to move the science to a place where it's accessible for people to understand and help them make really clear decisions. And I've been kind of, you know, playing in my head of where would that best place be, whether it be blogs or whether it be, you know, kind of popular magazines. But how can we get the scientific information in a really accessible way so that people can make good decisions for their families and their communities? Like I said, in, you know, comparing again U.S. to Oman, anything that's extracted to the ground from the ground becomes public property, really. It's national property and everyone benefits. Well, that's not what happens in the U.S. And so, you know, some people benefit and then some people take on the risks and don't get any economic benefit. So how can we help people make those decisions? Because the laws in the U.S. are that you know, people can have the right to do what they want to do with their land based on zoning regulations. But the way it works in Pennsylvania is, you know, in the regions where Marcellus Shale is, fracking is permitted in most places. And so, again, how do we get that information to people to allow them to make healthy choices?
Yeah, super important. Even though we may not all see it the same way, protecting health and working toward health is really what nursing is about. So could you help articulate why these issues really are nursing issues?
As nurses, no matter where we work, what we do is we protect the health of people. And so whether you're working in an ICU unit or, you know, out in the community or in a clinic, we look at, you know, we are very holistic in the way we deliver care, and we look at all the issues that protect the health of people. And so if we don't address, again, you know, what people might be exposed to and the way people live, we're not really fully working to our capacity and not protecting the health and making the greatest impact for the health of the communities that we serve. You know, I just think about when we do a health assessment in the hospital, you know, we often ask people kind of what kind of work they do and you know, past histories of things. And in that, we can get a sense of what people might be exposed to. And it's an ideal time to start talking to people about, are they protecting themselves of, you know, hobbies that may expose them to risks? Or if they live in an area where air quality isn't very good, you know, what can they do on those air quality, you know, poor air quality days? And how do they even find out that information? And that is our responsibility. I mean, it should be part of our assessment all along, but in an acute care setting, it should be part of our discharge planning as well, you know, sharing with people. And then, you know, people out in the community, a lot of us see that on a daily basis. And so that comes across probably more evident to nurses working in our practice, but it needs to be across all of our, you know, what we all do. It needs to be across that. The other thing is it is part of our scope and standard of practice is, consideration of environmental health. And so once, and that's part of the scope and standard, then we are accountable to addressing that.
Thank you. That was well stated. I have experienced in my teaching when working with especially newer students and trying to introduce some of these concepts. Students, you know, as you say, come from their own lives and points of view and bring, different perspectives, including political perspectives. And sometimes I feel like I'm shocking them to be talking about, the depth of our environmental challenges. And I always come back to, well, this is a health issue and this is therefore a nursing issue. So my question, long-winded question, is, do you see movement in your students over the years that you spend or the semester that you spend with them in terms of becoming more aware of some of these issues, including local and global issues?
Yes. I've been teaching this for quite a while, and there were some years that I actually was confronted, saying that I was forcing a certain political agenda. And that actually was surprising to me, but I kind of stepped back and looked at, again, what is it a nurse does? And, and what are our professional organizations saying? And the American Nurses Association supports considering environmental health and nursing. That's in our scope and standard, as I said. The public health nurses support it. And so it does come from our professional organization saying this is something that we need to think about. What I've found more recently is that nursing students and really all students are aware of what's happening environmentally. And they come with some backgrounds from high school. Some of them have taken environmental health courses in high school. And so they are really eager to see, especially nursing students, to see how they can apply this to their professional practice. And so fortunately, I'm finding nursing students who come up to me after class and say, I want more. And so that actually is very exciting. And so I have been able to engage them in some students in activities through the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environment. Some have visited Washington and met with their legislators to talk to them about environmental health. And then I've also, we at Villanova and other campuses have this as well. They have sustainability committees. And so now we have nursing student representatives on sustainability committees looking at the impacts of the university. And so that gives them kind of a leg up to thinking about what they might do professionally. And then my other hope is I'm going to add a climate change course, a separate elective course here at Villanova. I know other universities have done it, but I'm currently working on the syllabus for that course.
Terrific. What are you most concerned about right now in terms of health and environment?
Climate change. It is... it's heartbreaking, really. We would talk about climate change as something in the future and something that we need to be concerned about. And I have been teaching this environmental health material to nurses since 1996. And again, I used to talk about it as something in the future. And for many years, it did become politicized, and we've wasted so much time where we could have really made a difference. And so now we're seeing true health impacts from vector-borne diseases in places that we had never seen before. We've got dengue in the United States. Zika took off in a way that we didn't expect. We have conflicts because of lack of food and nutrition. The extreme weather events that we've had with the wildfires in California and the hurricanes in the southeast of the United States. So it's here and we need to address it. And so we need to stop being political about it and we need to get real about it in the United States. Many countries have addressed it and continue to address it. And we need to, too, because that is influencing populations and health all over the world.
Yeah, great. So with that in mind or other issues in mind. If you were speaking as a nurse to non-nurses, so to the community, the world, the nation, is there a message that you would like to deliver?
Yeah, we need to work together to address climate change. And so we need to really look at the factors that cause climate change. And we know that it is fossil fuels that is one of the big problems. And so we need to address that. And we need to look at, you know, not only at the national level and global level, but then also addressing things at the community level. We can really do things that actually benefit health locally. I mean, you know, if we have bike paths and opportunities to walk more, you know, eating locally and those sort of things support the local economy, but we also, you know, have opportunities for better physical health, better air quality. So, you know, by participating in these things that affect our greenhouse gases up in the stratosphere, we are helping our local communities in very real ways. So that's what I would talk about with communities.
Cool. And then would you have a different message if you were speaking to nurses only?
Yeah, I would tell them some of that, but then also it's time for us to roll up our sleeves and get at the table. And what I tell my students is, you know, if you're not going to be invited, just show up and take a seat at the table. And because we have a lot to say, and what I have found is that when I do participate in you know, kind of policy type decision making, nurses can do it in a very clear way that everyone understands, and people usually stop and are unfortunately surprised by what a nurse can offer, which is kind of sad that it's taken them that long, but all right. So I would tell them to get active in the policy table.
Great. And do you have ideas for where nurses can get more information? I'm thinking of Annie and also your state organization or others. Anything you want to share?
Yeah, certainly Annie is a great resource for information about environmental health. There's still some really good federal resources for climate change and health. And then also, you know, getting involved with your professional organizations, because it is a great avenue. And Annie is one of those organizations that I would really recommend getting involved with.
Terrific. Well, this has been so interesting, Ruth, and provocative, especially with your experience in the Mideast and also bringing it right back to Pennsylvania with related issues that are challenging and, you know, really are putting people at risk. So first, thank you for your work on that. You are contributing to our health as a society and as a world, and I appreciate that personally. And also thank you for your conversation today. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we sign off?
I don't think so. I feel like we covered everything, but thank you so much for your time, Beth.
You bet. Thank you for joining us today on the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. For more information, check out the organization at environ.org. And also please rate us on iTunes podcast so people can find us more easily. Thanks, and talk to you next time.